For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
We're dedicating tonight's shiur l'ilui nishmas Reb Chaim Mordechai Nachman Yitzchok ben Alti Yeshaya Moshe HaKohen, which is still in the middle of the Shloshim. This was a man who was a rodef emes, a person who pursued truth and only was interested in truth and nothing coded. And this week's parasha, we learn about Yaakov Avinu, who we all know was the man of truth, Titan Emes Yaakov. And in this week's parasha, Yaakov has to deal with the sheker of the world. He has to deal with the deceit of Lavan. He has to deal with the sheker of Charan, the outside world. And in fact, from the Avos, Yaakov is the one who goes out. That's why the name of this parasha is Vayetze. Vayetze means that he went out. Normally, going out is associated with negativity, because a Jew is supposed to stay in. The Jewish woman called Kavudim Asmelech Penima, that's understood as sneers, but even the Jewish man is supposed to be in the Beis Medrash, in the Beis HaKnesses, doing mitzvahs, which most mitzvahs we do within the confines of Kedusha. We don't go out. Going out, one has to go out to do business, to make a living, but Vayetze, going out, is usually not something that we would expect from the Torah, that the Torah has an entire parasha that is called Vayetze. Every pasuk in this parasha is the pasuk in parashas Vayetze. What is the lesson that we learn from the name Vayetze, and especially that Vayetze is usually something that we frown upon. When we say something doesn't belong, we say it belongs out. It's out. Outside is where the tumah is. Outside is where the lack of kedusha. That's where the chulin is. That's where the opposite of kedusha is located. What is it with this week's parasha? It's called Vayetze. What is the lesson from the Vayetze in this week's parasha? And Yaakov is the one that's involved in this Vayetze. Avram Avinu, although Avram Avinu also went out, but Avram Avinu, most of his life, was journeying towards Eretz Yisrael. Avram Avinu was leaving Charan, leaving Ur Kasdim, and going to Eretz Yisrael, where he spends a good portion of his life, which we learn about in the parashios of Lech Lecha and Vayera. Yitzchak never left Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak was totally secluded. Yitzchak's midah was pachad vayira. In fact, that's why we find that Yitzchak was not involved dealing with Bali Tshuva, as we would call them, as Avram Avinu, as Hanefesh Asher Asu Bukharan, the Farshim asked whatever happened to them after Avram passed away. Yitzchak didn't deal with them. Yitzchak was too holy. He wasn't able to lower himself to their level, and therefore they went away, it said the Svarim. So they left. And they said these Neshamas later on became the Gerim in Klal Yisrael. Yitzchak certainly was someone who didn't go out, even though the pasuk says Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basoda, he went out to Daven, but he certainly didn't go out of Eretz Yisrael. He didn't go to Charan. He didn't deal with the outside world. Who does deal with the outside world? That's Yaakov. Yaakov is the one who goes into Golus. Avraham is the one who's ready to have himself thrown in the fire for Hashem. Yitzchak stretches out his neck by the Akedah, and Yaakov is the man of Golus. Yaakov goes into exile. As we read in Parashas Kisisa, when Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to defend Klal Yisrael after the Chet HaEgel, the pasuk says, "Zochor la'Avraham liYitzchak uYisrael avodecha." So there Rashi says, if Klal Yisrael deserve Chas V'Shalom Sreifa because of Chet HaEgel, remember what Avraham did. If they deserve Hariga, remember what Yitzchak did. If they deserve Golus, remember what Yaakov did. So Yaakov is the symbol of the wandering Jew, the Golus Jew. That's what Yaakov did. Yaakov went into Golus. He was by Lavan for 20 years. He ran away from Esav. Yaakov has to deal with anti-Semitism, and he has to deal with literal exile, just as Klal Yisrael later on, until the present day, has to deal with Golus. So Yaakov paved the way for us. This parasha we always read in the very close proximity to Chanukah. And Chanukah, as we will see, is the only Yom Tov that goes out. Chanukah is the Yom Tov of Vayetze. Because every other Yom Tov, and most mitzvahs that we perform in the Torah are all done indoors. Pesach, there's no Indian to eat matzah outside, even though the sukkah is outside, but the sukkah is in the backyard or on the roof. It's not in the middle of the street. It doesn't have to be in the outside. We don't have to deal so much with the chutzah, with the outside world on sukkahs or Pesach, or certainly not Shavuos, or even Purim. No one says that the Megillah has to be read outside. But by Hanukkah, we find this unique phenomenon that Hanukkah, the mitzvah, is to light the menorah al Pesach based on Yivachutz. The menorah is supposed to be lit on the outside, illuminating the outside. Not only that, but the Gemara says, Ner Hanukkah Mismoil, that the Hanukkah is on the left side of the doorway, as opposed to the mezuzah, which is on the right, which is also very strange, because most mitzvahs we do with the Yamin. The Yamin is the tzad of Kedusha. The right is the side of Chesed. The right is the more powerful side. The left is the weaker side, because it is weaker spiritually too. The left is the tzad of Tumah, and in fact, we find that Choron and all the tzaras of Klal Yisrael that occurred in Eretz Yisrael happened from the north side. Mitzafon tipasach harah. Tzafon is the north, is the left side. The pasuk says in Tehillim, Tzafon v'yamin ata v'rasam. So Tzafon is the opposite of Yamin. Yamin is right, Tzafon is left. And here it's interesting, because if we take a look at the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, which we assume that the Hanukkah menorah is in commemoration of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, however, the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash was totally different than the menorah that we light on Hanukkah. First of all, the menorah was on the right side. The menorah is Bedorom, and the menorah is on the south side in the Beis HaMikdash, which is the right side. The Gemara says if a person wants to be a Chacham, he should go south. Harotza Lahachkim, Yadrim, because the menorah is Bedorom. The menorah in the Beis HaMikdash was also located indoors. It was in the Heichal. It was not lit by the entrance or the exit. It wasn't lit to illuminate the outside. In fact, the way the wicks were placed on top of the menorah, as Rashi says in Bahaloscha, that the six wicks faced the middle. El mul pnei ha-menorah yiru shivas ha-neiros. They're facing inward, not outward, like we would assume. If the purpose is to illuminate, then the candles, the oil cups on top of the menorah, should have been facing towards the out. When they were not, they were facing inward. So Rashi says that people shouldn't say La'orahu tzorach, that Hashem needs light. Hashem doesn't need light. So the purpose of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash was really not to light up the outside world. It wasn't to illuminate at all. It was a mitzvah to light the menorah, but it wasn't to light the outside world. The wicks are facing inward. That's according to the Man Dharma, that the menorah was Dor and Sof. And there's another opinion that the menorah was from Mizrach to Ma'ariv. And in that opinion, all the wicks were facing the west, that they're all facing inside. According to both opinions, no one says that the menorah was being lit in the Beis HaMikdash to illuminate the outside. The menorah in the Beis HaMikdash was also 18 tefachim tall. That's approximately about 6 feet tall. The mitzvah of Chanukah is to light the menorah below 10 tefachim. Mitzvah lehanicha b'toich asara, the Gemara says. Not that you can't do it higher, but that the mitzvah min hamuvchar is to light it below 10 tefachim. The Gemara says, "May oylam lo yarda shechina lamata me'asara." The shechina never went below 10. Below 10 is not where the shechina is. That's what the Gemara says in Sukkah. The schach of the Sukkah has to be at least high 10 tefachim. We learn that from the Kapiras. The Gemara says over there, the shechina lowers itself up until 10 tefachim normally, and it doesn't go below 10. So that's why most mitzvahs we perform higher than 10. The menorah on Chanukah is an exception, because the menorah on Chanukah, the mitzvah is to light it below 10. And it's an exception that the mitzvah is to light it on the left side. And it's an exception that the mitzvah is to light it by the doorway facing the outside, as if to illuminate the street, to illuminate the outside. None of this do we see by the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Because the truth is, the menorah of Chanukah is not the same menorah as the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. The menorah in the Beis HaMikdash had 7 oil cups. The menorah on Chanukah has 8, and therefore it is a totally different concept. The menorah of Chanukah is, as we know what the Svarim tell us, the Reikeach is the first to mention this, the Bnei Yisoschar at length, and any other Svarim, that the candles that we light, the oil that we light on Chanukah, is the Oiro Yishal Melech HaMashiach. It is the Or HaGonis. It is the hidden light that was put away at the beginning of creation. The hidden light that Adam Arishon was able to see Misaifa Oilam Va'ad Saifa, which lasted for 36 hours, is what's in the 36 in the Lamed Vav Neiros of Chanukah. And that's why it's so powerful, because it is really the aura of Mashiach. It's like as if we get a taste backwards. The light of Mashiach shines back on these 8 days of Chanukah. We get a taste of the world of eight, of Olam Haba, Haba B'Gematria 8, Hey Bez Aleph. The Olam HaShmini, the Olam of Mashiach, is going to play the Kinar Shel Shmeina Nimen, as the Gemara says in Erechim. And Mashiach plays the harp of eight strings. Amenatzeach al HaShminis. The world of eight, the world of the supernatural, is what we get a taste of on Chanukah. And that's why Chanukah is the most powerful Yom Tov in this respect, that it is able to illuminate the outside, the left, below ten, and it is the only Yom Tov that begins in the second half of the month. Every month, every Yom Tov, besides Lag BaOmer, and there's a connection between Lag BaOmer and Chanukah, every Yom Tov begins either at the beginning or the mid of the month, never afterwards, because that's when the moon begins to become concealed. That's not Yom Tov time. Chanukah, however, is different. Chanukah begins precisely on the 25th day of Kislev, when the moon is practically concealed from view. Another few days and the moon is totally concealed. In fact, the day that the moon is totally concealed at the end of Kislev is one of the 8 days of Chanukah. Nowhere else do we ever have a Yom Tov that's all the way at the end of the month. Not only is it in the second half, but it's at the end mamish, when the moon is totally concealed. That's the power of Chanukah. Chanukah has the power to illuminate the lowest neshamas, the neshamas that are affected by the world of Esav, the neshamas of Choron, of Charoi Nachshol Mokoyim, as Rashi tells us, that Choron, and Chazal tell us that Choron comes from the word Charoin. The outside world is the world in which there is Charoin Af, in the world of anger, where Hashem is angry with. Charoi Nachshol Mokoyim, the world of rebellion, the world of sin, is where Chanukah goes. Chanukah has the power to affect Charoin Avshal Mokoyim. Charoin Avshal Mokoyim is B'gematria Matisyahu. Matisyahu, with his great Kedusha, even though he was the Kohen Gadol, the greatest of all of Klal Yisrael, Matisyahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol, through his Kedusha and his Avodah, together with his sons, they defeated Malchus Yavan, and they gave us this great Yom Tov of Chanukah, which has the power to affect the areas, the sides, the people, the times that no other Yom Tov can affect. But this really started with Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was the first to literally go out of the confines of Kedusha. Vayetze Yaakov mibe'er shava. He went out of the world of seven. Vayelech Choron, and he went into Charoi Nachshol Mokoyim with the power of Chanukah. In fact, the next pasuk is Vayivga b'Mokoyim. He encounters Hashem. Hashem is Mokoyim, the Mokoyim Oishol Oilam. He encounters Hashem even in Choron, that the Shechina is everywhere, even below ten, as it says. Yaakov Avinu was lying on the floor, literally on the floor. He's below ten tefachim, and that's where he has the dream. And that's why Yaakov is awestruck when he wakes up. He says, I can't believe that Hashem is here too. Why can't he believe it? Hashem is everywhere. What's the chiddush? If I would have known, I wouldn't have slept here. The chiddush is that he felt the kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash even here in Choron. Although it was the Makom HaMikdash, we know what Chazal said. The Makom HaMikdash moved. It moved. It was Kfitza Sa'aretz. The Shechina came to him. Just like on Chanukah, the Shechina comes to us wherever we are. Whether we find ourselves on the left side, whether we find ourselves below 10 or on the outside, Chanukah comes to us. The Beis HaMikdash is brought to every member of Klal Yisrael who lights the Chanukah candles. So Matisyahu is B'gematria Beis HaMikdash. Matisyahu, in his Kedusha, brought the Beis HaMikdash everywhere. And Yaakov is awestruck. Yaakov can't believe. He's amazed that Ochein Yesh Hashem B'makom Hazeh, that Hashem is here too. That the Shechina can be felt even here where I'm lying on the floor in Chutz La'aretz, on the left side, in Choron, which is the left side, it's the north of Eretz Yisrael, which is the left side. Yaakov Avinu is amazed that one can experience and feel the Mekayim Ha'ishal Olam, the Beis HaMikdash, even in such a place, even in such a time, even in such a direction, even in the Tzad Safai. So Yaakov is actually the trailblazer, if that's the right word to use. Yaakov is actually the pioneer when it comes to the concept of Chanukah. Because Yaakov does, in some degree, what Chanukah is going to do later on in history. Yaakov goes out into the Charan, into the world of Charan Avshal Malkaim, and there develops the entire Jewish nation. In fact, 11 of his children are born Dafka in the Chutz La'aretz, not in Eretz Yisrael. Binyamin is born in Eretz Yisrael, but everyone else is born in Chutz La'aretz. The power of Klal Yisrael is that Klal Yisrael has the ability to produce, to develop in very, very difficult situations. We find the Pasuk says in the Haftarah of one of the weeks of the Shiva de Nochemsa, Ki Rabin B'nei Shaymeima B'nei Be'ula Amar Hashem, that the B'nei Shaymeima reach greater heights than the B'nai Ba'ula. Even the B'nai Shaymeim, even the desolate ones, can reach greater levels than the inhabited ones. In other words, that going through desolation, we go through Churban, we go through Golus, Klal Yisrael has this tremendous ability to be able to produce and develop. Yaakov Avinu develops his family, Dafka and Chutz La'aretz, and he didn't expect to do that. Because we see in the Psukim that he says to Lavan, E'evodcha shev ashanim berachel bitcha haktana. In other words, he's willing to work 7 years, and then he'll marry Rachel. What was the purpose? Why didn't he marry her first? I'll marry her and I'll work for you 7 years. And what did he want to do here? Rashi says before that when Rivka told him to go in Chutz La'aretz, she said, Yoshafta ima yom ha'chadim, she meant 7 years. So obviously he's planning on going right back to Eretz Yisrael. I'll work for you for 7 years. I'll marry Rachel and I'm going home. He didn't want to have children here. He didn't want to have children with Lavan around. What kind of atmosphere, what kind of influence, what kind of place is this to raise the Shiftei Kah? So Yaakov's intention was not to raise the Shiftei Kah here. He would marry her after 7 years and move back to Eretz Yisrael, but fate had it differently, and Hashem obviously had different plans for him. He didn't realize that he was going to be fooled. He didn't realize that he was going to have to work another 7 years, and most of Klal Yisrael is developed here in Chutz La'aretz, Dafka in Charan, Dafka on the left side, Dafka, where at least expected, Dafka in the place of Choshech, that's where Yaakov's family grows and remains steadfast and remains totally loyal to everything that Yaakov teaches them. In this parasha, Yaakov goes into the world of Esav. Esav is on the left. Esav is the outside world. Esav is the world of Choshech. Esav is actually the source of Golus Yavan, because when Yitzchak benches Esav in the previous parasha, he says to Esav, Mishmane ha'oretz yihya moshavecho mital ha'shamayim me'ol. So Rashi says, which land was Yitzchak giving Esav? Zu Italia shel Yavan. Italy, Greece. This is Zu Italia shel Yavan. Yavan is rooted in Esav, in the bracha that Yitzchak gives Esav, Mishmani ha'aretz yeh moshavecha. Yaakov also received such a bracha, similar bracha, Yitam lecha ha'elekim ital ha'shamayim u'mishmani ha'aretz. But the Medrash says that this Mishmani refers to Mishnah. Mishmani is Lashon Mishnah. Mishnah is Torah Shabbal Peh. Yaakov is benched with Torah Shabbal Peh. Esav is benched with Yavan, with ital yoshel Yavan, which is Chachmas Yavanis. Chachmas Yavanis is the le'umazeh, the total opposite of Torah Shabbal Peh. Torah Shabbal Peh begins developing when the Yom Tov of Chanukah is first becoming revealed. That's when the spread of Torah Shabbal Peh began, at the same time that the Yom Tov of Chanukah was revealed. Chanukah, as Chazal tell us, is the Yom Tov of Torah Shabbal Peh. The Gemara asks, when the Pasuk says, L'manatzecha alayelas hashacha mizmar l'david, the Gemara says in Yuma, that it's talking about Esther. Esther is Soif Kol Hanisim. So the Gemara says Esther is not Soif Kol, there's Chanukah. So the Gemara says, Shenitin Oli Koseg, we're talking about, from the Yamim Toivim that were written in Tanakh, Purim is the last. Chanukah is not Nitin Oli Koseg. Chanukah, therefore, is the first Yom Tov of Torah Shabbal Peh. It is not written. It is the Yom Tov of the Torah that we call the Torah Baal Peh, the Yom Tov of the mouth. That's why Chanukah is the Yom Tov of Lahalel Lahoydes. Chanukah represents the windpipe, as the Sfarim say, the Koneh. Koneh in Hebrew means the windpipe. Koneh is Begematria B'chofei B'kislev. The Veshet, which is the food pipe, that's Purim, as the B'nai Yisoscha discusses at length. Based on the Arizal discusses the Koneh and the Veshet in the Oisius of Kabbalah. So Koneh is Chanukah and the Veshet is Purim. The Koneh is the windpipe which we breathe with and which we talk with. Chanukah is the yomtiv of speech. It's the yomtiv of talking. Hakol kol Yaakov. Chanukah is the yomtiv of lehoydos ulehalel, and it's the yomtiv of Torah Shabbal Peh. In Torah Shabbal Peh itself, there are levels. There's Mishnah and there's Braisa. The Mishnah, although it's not part of Tanakh, the Mishnah is still called the inside of Torah. The Braisa is called the outside. Why is it called Braisa? Braisa in Aramaic comes from the word Borab, Beis Resh Aleph, which in Aramaic, not in Hebrew, means the outside. When someone goes out, we say Nofak Leborah. He went to the outside. The Braisa is the outside because it's outside of the Mishnah. Chanukah is not really mentioned in Mishnayos at all. Chanukah is only mentioned in Mishnayos a few times, not referring to Chanukah. It's referring to other halachas. It's only mentioned there Agav. Where does Torah Shabbal Peh speak about Chanukah for the first time? In a Braisa. The Gemara says, "My Chanukah, the Tanu Rabbanan." In fact, when the Gemara describes the Yom of Chanukah, it describes it in Aramaic, not in Hebrew. Which Aramaic is the La'az, it's not Lashon HaKodesh, it's the outside language, it's the language that's outside of Lashon HaKodesh. The Megillah, for example, on Purim, although it does have Persian words in it, but the Megillah is written by Lashon HaKodesh, it's part of Tanakh. The story of Chanukah, the way it's described in those few lines in the Gemara in Shabbos, My Chanukah, the Tanu Rabbanan, which Tanu Rabbanan is a Braisa, it's not a Mishnah, and the Braisa is the outside as opposed to the Mishnah, which is considered the inside of Torah Shabbal Peh. And not only that, but the Braisa says it in Aramaic, which compared to Lashon HaKodesh, that's Chutz, because that's Chanukah. Chanukah is so powerful that it affects the outside. The whole purpose of the Chanukah Menorah is to illuminate the Chutz, to illuminate the outside world, the world of Esav. And therefore, the Yontav of Chanukah in the Gemara is described in a Braisa, not in a Mishnah. Just like it affects the outside world in the Olam, in the world itself, it also is taught in the outside part of the Torah, which is the Braisa, and in Lashon Arami, and in Lashon Targum, rather than in Lashon HaKodesh. The Yevonim entered the Heichal. The Yevonim did something. They did something that was very, very brazen and arrogant, and that is that they entered, they went inside. Nichnasu Yevanim leHeichal. They went into the Heichal, which is the inside, totally inside. In fact, the Heichal is a place where even a Yisroel is not allowed to enter. And certainly a Goy is not allowed to enter. And Nichnasu Yevanim leHeichal, the Timu Kol Hashmanim, and they did more than that, Shiktu Avnei HaMizbeach, and so on. They wanted to bring their Chachma, Italia Shel Yavon, which was the Mishmane Ha'oretz that was given to Esav, not the Mishmane Ha'oretz that was given to Yaakov. They wanted to bring the Mishmane Ha'oretz of Italia Shel Yavon, the Choshech Zu Yavon. The Chazal tell us, Toihu Vavoyu V'Choshech, Choshech is Yavon. They wanted to bring their, what they called enlightenment, but the Chazal call it Choshech, their Mishmane Ha'oretz into the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, when we were given the Yom Tov of Chanukah, the Yom Tov of Chanukah is totally the opposite of what they wanted to do. They wanted to take that which was outside and bring it in. The Yom Tov of Chanukah has the power to take that which is in and bring it out. In Torah Shabbal Peh, and in the fact that the oil, the jug of oil, which was totally concealed, no one saw it, no one could be metameyed, they couldn't contaminate it. They were able to contaminate all the oil except for the pach echad shel shemen that was munach b'chaisamay shel kayan gadol under the ground, so it wasn't possible to become tamei anyway, at all, not through tumas hesed, maga, not any tumah whatsoever. That pach echad shel shemen that was totally concealed from view is revealed lasting the 8 days of Chanukah, giving us the 8 days of Chanukah. Even though there was only enough to last for one night, it lasted 8 days. Chanukah is the yomtiv of revelation, gilui. Chanukah is the yomtiv where ma'ilin b'kodesh v'lei ma'irin. We go higher every night. We light another candle. Despite that, Chanukah is the yomtiv that goes outside and it goes down below 10. The purpose of the descent is to bring to a much greater ascent, to bring to a greater aliyah. You read the letzayrach aliyah. While Yavon was just the opposite. If you take the word Yavon, you'll see it's a Yud, Vav, and a Nun, which Yud, Vav, Nun, the three letters Yud, Vav, and Yud is a small line, then a larger line, then an even lower line. It was, you're going lower, 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 never to come back up. That's what it says in Tehillim, Tavati Bivain Metzula. I sunk in sort of quicksand, Yavain in Hebrew, which Yavon, Yavain, same letters, is a kind of quicksand that you can't get out of. Once you sink, you just fall. Chanukah is just the opposite. Chanukah is the Yom Tov that's able to go down and bring up, it brings out the neshamas that fell, have a tikkun, even those that Yom Kippur didn't have an effect on, even those who didn't do Tshuva Hishana Rabbah. Chanukah is the Gemar Hachsima, the Gemar Hachsima Toiva, for those who didn't utilize their Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur properly. So Matis Yo is also the Gematria of Rosh Hashanah, as the Svarim tell us, because on Chanukah we can accomplish that which we should have done on Rosh Hashanah. The power of Chanukah is that those Jews who find themselves on the left side and below 10 and on the outside world, and therefore for them Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and even Hashanah Rabbah are not enough, Chanukah helps them. Chanukah affects the neshamas that were affected by Esav. Esav's head is buried in the Maris HaMachpelah, as we mentioned 2 weeks ago. In Esav's head were the great neshamas of the Tanoim of Torah Shebaal Peh. Rabbi Meir was an enikel of Esav. Rabbi Akiva, according to many opinions, was an enikel of Esav. So was Shmaya Vavtalion, and many, many other great Tanoim and Amoroim and Mishnais and the Gemara. A lot of Torah Shebaal Peh was developed by descendants of Esav Dafka, whose head is in the Maris HaMachpelah. And his head was buried in the Maris HaMachpelah on Chanukah. The Bnei Yisrael tells us that Yaakov Avinu was nifter on Sukkos, and he was buried on Chanukah, and we know that Esav was killed the same day Yaakov was buried, which means Esav's head rolled into the Maris HaMachpelah on Chanukah, and his head, he knew what was right. It was his body, it was his heart, it was his Yetzirah that took control, but in his head he knew what was correct. That's why in last week's parasha we saw how much it bothered him that he didn't get a bracha, when this is the same Esav who, Vayivez Esav is HaBachayra, who the Gemara says that when Avram was nifter, he was over on Kol HaTayra Kula, he was Baal HaErva, and he was Kaifa Be'ikra, and Kaifa Be'tchias HaMesim, and he murdered Nimrod, he worshipped idols, and a person that wasn't interested in any of this, and yet, look how he goes crazy when he finds out that the bracha was taken away from him. In his head, he knew the truth. And in his head, there were sparks of Kedusha, there were great neshamas that were waiting to be removed, that were waiting to be revealed. That were trapped in Esav. That's the Vayehav Yitzchak as Esav Kitzayed Befiv. Yitzchak loves that which was trapped in Esav. Yitzchak saw these neshamas that were in Esav, which later on become the Chachamim of Torah Shebaal Peh. So just as Yaakov goes out, Vayetze, there is a time when a Jew goes out. In fact, our whole mission in this world is to go out. We are born, we leave Gan Eden, and the neshama is chatzuv mitachas kisei hakavod. We were, before we entered this world, we were in a very, very holy place. Either we were in Gan Eden, or we were in Hashem's kisei hakavod, we were part of Hashem, the nefesh is a chelik alakami mal. And when we come into this world, we're going out. Every yid is Vayetze when he comes to this world. Entering this world is going into Choron, dealing with that which is outside of the Kedusha of Gan Eden, dealing with a world that is on the floor, literally, dealing with a world of Sheker. And we are given special koiches to be able to deal with the Sheker of this world. Yaakov received those koiches when he went to the Beis Medrash of Eiver for 14 years. He went to the Beis Medrash of Eiver, where it says, Nitman Beveis Eiver. He hid himself. He was concealed. And perhaps it wasn't just that he hid himself from Esav, as many say it means. And he wasn't learning in the Beis Medrash where you could just walk in and see him. He was running away from Esav, so he had to go in some underground tunnel where the Beis Medrash of Eiver was located at that time. But it means that he was learning a Torah much different than the Torah that he learned in the Ohaloi Shel Shem Ve'Eiver, the first 63 years of his life. There he was learning Torah to deal with Eretz Yisrael. Here now he's learning Torah to deal with Chutz La'aretz, to deal with the outside world. Here he's learning Torah's Chanukah. In the 14 years that he's in the Beis Medrash of Eiver, he's learning the hidden part of it. He's learning the Shemen of Torah, the part of Torah that's compared to Shemen. We know the Torah is compared to various liquids, to water, to wine, to milk, to honey. The Torah is also compared to oil. That's the secret part of the Torah, the hidden part of Torah, which later on was revealed by Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai on Lag BaOmer, which Lag BaOmer, incidentally, is also begins in the second half of the month. That's how powerful it is. And the Sfarim tells us that Lag BaOmer is hinted in this week's parasha at the end when it says Gal Eid, that Yaakov and Lavan made a treaty where they piled up stones. Gal Eid, the heap of stone, was testimony that Yaakov and Lavan will not harm each other. And the Sfarim tell us that here's where Lag BaOmer is hinted.
Eid Hagal Hazeh. What's Lag BaOmer doing over here? Lag BaOmer Parashas Vayetze in the Mechodesh Kislev, as we're getting ready for Chanukah. Chanukah and Lag BaOmer are really one and the same. Lag BaOmer, Lag is Gal, which is reveal. Lag BaOmer is the revelation of Chochmas HaKabbalah, of the Torah's HaZayar, which Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai revealed on the last day of his life, which was Lag BaOmer. That's the Shemen Sheva Torah. That's the part of Torah that's compared to Shemen that is later revealed by the Arizal and the Baal Shem Tov and the Talmid of Baal Shem Tov until Mashiach comes, to have to deal with the world of Chayshach that is going to take place prior to Mashiach's arrival. In the Chayshach that we live in today, and the left that we see today, and the below 10, and the outside world that we see today, this was a preparation to enable us to be able to get through the difficult times, to be able to get through the Chayshach and the Tzad Smoil and Lamata Miyud that exists in the world prior to Mashiach, and especially in our time when it's very close and the Chayshach is tremendous. We have this Koyach of Chanukah and the Koyach of Pnimiyus HaTorah that is compared to Shemen that helps us get through. Just as Yaakov was able to deal with the outside world after he went through the 14 years of Eiver, Nitman Beveis Eiver, he buried himself in Beis Eiver. He learned the concealed part of the Torah that enabled him to deal with the outside world, the Torah that is the Torah Seishel Moshiach. Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Shabbat, he goes out of the world of 7 and he goes into the world of 8. And that's why Vayelech Charon, he's able to deal with Charon. And it's interesting too, because Charon is the letters Ner Ches. Ner Ches, the Ner of Ches, the candle of 8. The Chanukah menorah, which has 8 candles, which is able to deal with Charon Afshal Mokim, which is able to deal with the outside world, where even in Charon, Vayivka B'Mokim, that a Jew can encounter Hashem everywhere and anywhere, if he wants, and feel the presence of the Shechina, even Lamata Miyud, even in the streets of Manhattan, or wherever one may be, even when one finds himself in the most unlikely place to feel close to Hashem, Yaakov paved the way that even there, Vayivka B'Mokim. And that's the Yom Tov of Chanukah. The Yom Tov of Chanukah has the ability to go where no other Yom Tov goes and can accomplish. That's why right after this story, the pasuk says, "Vayitzok Shemen al Roisha." Yaakov wakes up and he pours oil. Yaakov is pouring oil over here. This is the oil of Chanukah. The Midrashim tell us that Yaakov had nothing. Eliphaz took away everything from him. The only thing he had was a stick. But in that stick, there was Shemen. Yaakov Ruveni brings down from some Medrash that there was Shemen hidden in Yaakov's stick, just as the Pach Shemen was hidden under the ground in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and when it came the time for it to be revealed, that was the Yom Tov of Chanukah. Here, the Shemen that was hidden in Yaakov's stick became revealed, and right after Yaakov experiences Chanukah right here in this story at the beginning of the parasha, that even though Vayelech Charon Vayivka B'Mokim, and Ochein Yesh Hashem B'Mokim Hazeh, what does Yaakov do? Vayitzvek Shemen Al Rosh. So Yaakov is lighting their Chanukah over here. Yaakov is utilizing the oil, the Shemen. This is the first time the Torah mentions Shemen in Parshas Vayetze, in this Parsha that is always read in Chodesh Kislev. Chanukah is the Yom Tov of Shemen. Shemen is the only liquid that does not mix, and it rises to the top. The Yevanim wanted us to mix with them. The Yevanim wanted that we should become one nation with them. We should go to their academies, we should study their philosophy. Nichnisu Yevanim Leheicho, we're all one. They wanted to contaminate. They didn't mind if we learn Torah, but they, you know, learn Torah, learn Greek philosophy an hour later. The purpose of Chanukah, however, is to separate us from the nations. On the contrary, that's the Shemen. The Shemen is the liquid that does not mix with other liquids. They wanted that we should mix with them. We were given a Yom Tov of Shemen, which Shemen rises to the top. The Klal Yisrael are always on the top. Well, the Sitcha Elyon. Elyon is the letters Al Yavon. We're on top of Yavon. We don't mix with the Yavonim. The Sitcha Elyon Al Kol Ha'aretz. Al Yavon. Vayitzvayk Shemen Al Roisha. Yaakov pours the oil. When we go to the end of the parasha, we see that Yaakov on his way back encounters the Malachim. And these are Malachim that were from Eretz Yisrael, but for some reason they're going out to greet him. At the beginning of the parasha, it says, Oilim v'yardim boy, that Malachi Eretz Yisrael don't go chutz la'aretz. They only went till the border, and then the new Malachim came to take him out. Here at the end of the parasha, it says, Vayifgu by Malachi Elohim, Rashi says, Malachim shel Eretz Yisrael, bo l'krosay l'avoysay la'aretz. That seems to be a contradiction. At the beginning of the parasha, we're told the Malachim of Eretz Yisrael don't go out. Here they went out. Some of Farshim say that they don't go out for the sake of going out, but here they went out for the sake of bringing him in, so that's not considered going out. But perhaps it's deeper than that. Yaakov Avinu accomplished that he made Chutzal Eretz into Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov Avinu spent those 20 years, the base Lavan, and until he returns, which at the end of this parasha he's beginning to return, and then of course in next week's parasha he returns to Shechem and back into Eretz Yisrael, Yaakov accomplishes that Charan becomes like Eretz Yisrael. The Malachim are not afraid to go out to greet Yaakov, even though now he's outside of Eretz Yisrael, because he brought Eretz Yisrael there. He transformed it. He elevated the Chutz of Eretz into Eretz Yisrael. He brought the Beis HaMikdash into Charoi Nafshal Mokoyim. Beis HaMikdash is the Gematria Charoi Nafshal Mokoyim. We have to daven. Tonight's shiur was dedicated Le'ilu Nishmas Chaim Mordechai Nitzchak Ben Alpin Chaim Moshe HaKoyim. We mentioned that earlier. The Menorah in the Beis HaMikdash being lit by the Kohen Gadol, and the entire outside world becomes a receptacle for the Shekhinah, which is what Yaakov began to accomplish in this week's parasha.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.